Good morning, Nick Gordon, also a member.
Marcela Gigana, member of the committee.
Morning, Annelie Lothried, also a member.
Morning, Dr. Tembegwayo. Thank you.
I am Tsholofelo Motshidi, member of the committee.
Good morning, I'm Agnes, member of the committee.
Good morning, Nokuzola Ndungeni, member of the committee.
And this is Mr. Patel, Imran Patel. DDG, Socioeconomic Innovation Partners. You're most welcome. We are going to be getting a brief from yourself on the landscape approach to supporting the sustainable development goals. Over to you, sir.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and members. Thanks for allowing the DST an opportunity to begin a discussion with the Portfolio Committee on the SDGs. From my own recollection, this is the first specific engagement around the Sustainable Development Goals. So it was a bit difficult to completely work out the interests. So I've kept it broad and overarching, with the view that through our engagements we'll get a better sense, and if there's further information and further issues to reflect on, that I will then be able to take that back to the DST and we can integrate. Because the SDGs are in fact so all-encompassing in terms of what we would do. So what I've done in the presentation is to start with some introductory comments. I think most members are aware of the fact that the white paper, I think there's a briefing as well, the white paper process has almost been finalized. There's a major event that's happening on the 9th where we'll get final inputs to be able to finalize that white paper. Should that white paper be...
We had a briefing last week,
okay,
and we'll be attending the session on the 9th.
In fact, I think the chair is facilitating one of the committees. One of the breakaway sessions. But one of the proposals in that white paper, which I'm sure was discussed with the committee, was this issue of development of a decadal plan on science, technology, and innovation. So as part of the process, assuming, and we think that there's enough support for that concept and idea with a whole lot of partners and government, etc., because it will provide the kind of certainty and the forward-looking plan that we require. As part of that process of developing the decadal plan, the DST has been spending time trying to do an audit of particularly DST-funded investments at this point in time, because the information is more readily available, but then to also look at other NSI investments that advance the NDP priorities and the SDGs, and trying to consolidate this. So we have a good sense of what is it that we're doing as a country in support of each of the SDGs, because the SDGs are cross-cutting. The second introductory comment is if colleagues are interested, there's what is called a SDG Knowledge Hub that's been established at the University of Pretoria. It was launched by Minister Adebe when he was in the presidency at the time at the University of Pretoria. The intention of the SDG Hub is to provide an interface to decision makers and policy makers to the kind of research work that exists within South Africa particularly, but at the moment they've also included some US-based research. And the intention is to provide a single entry portal into the available knowledge. We are now beginning to work with the University of Pretoria. The initial funding for this wasn't provided by the DST in large measure. A small amount was provided by our ICR unit. But in terms of our country strategy, it makes sense to have, not to establish multiple SDG hubs, a single SDG hub. I've just looked this morning at the hub, and there's about a thousand research articles. There's a bias towards health and some other areas at this point in time, but the intention is to broaden it out. The third important introductory comment is that different countries are at different stages of formalizing what is called national level coordination arrangements for the SDGs. And this is something that most countries have struggled with. If you attend some of the UN engagements, you'll see significant variability in terms of how different countries have managed their SDGs. In the South African context, because the SDGs are aligned significantly to the NDP, in fact, it's close, the intention is for the presidency to play that kind of national coordinating role, and there's some discussions underway to kind of formalize this so that as a country we kind of move forward. We have engaged with the presidency, so the presidency will do the coordination and then include the other departments. We've made a bid to ensure that science and technology as a sector is represented in national coordination. In any national coordination structures. We also work with the State South Africa. State South Africa has been given the responsibility to or has taken the lead in terms of the monitoring of South Africa's achievement against the 170 odd targets that exist. They've done two very good reports that is essential reading, I would think, later for members of parliament, where it was a baseline report that was done, basically looking at where we are in relation to the SDGs. They are busy compiling, I'm not too sure, I haven't seen the latest, an updated report to identify over the last 3-4 years how far have we come in relation to moving the needle in terms of the SDG indicators. They've done a detailed analysis to show that which indicators, for example, we have data, which indicators we don't have data, which indicators we think we should be collecting data on, and which indicators, quite frankly, the kind of resource required to collect the data is not necessarily going to add value at this point in time. So that kind of work is being led by State South Africa. South Africa was the proud host in Cape Town of the first UN Data Forum that I'm sure people were alerted to. This happened in 2017. And the idea with the UN Data Forum is to build a coalition of statistical agencies, but also new providers of data, whether it's the social media networks, the private sector who holds access to data, and other means, in order for the globe to have a better indication around where we're going to with the SDGs. The most recent data forum, the second UN data forum, was held in Dubai just about 2 weeks ago. And South Africa continues to maintain quite a significant presence, particularly because we play an instrumental role in the continent in relation to the collection of data and strengthening of statistical systems for the indicators. And you'll see why science and technology is also quite important for the indicators. And then there's, in terms of the overall package of SDGs, there are 17 SDGs. Of the 17 SDGs, science and technology explicitly comes the most strongest in two of the 17. SDG 9, which deals with innovation and industrialization in that context, and SDG 17, which is means for implementation. So this is around foreign technology transfer and partnerships, etc. There are, for example, something like GERD, your gross expenditure on R&D, is an indicator of the 177 indicators captured under SDG 9. All right, just some additional comments, and I'm assuming, if I'm making the wrong assumption, committee members can highlight, just to give a context on the international dimension, because I'm not sure how many people are familiar with this. There's a specific UN resolution on SDI for SDGs, and this was quite important because as compared to the Millennium Development Goals, the SDI community lobbied very, very hard globally and organized themselves to say that unlike the MDGs, the role that science, technology, and innovation can play, particularly in the context of the disruption that STI developments around fourth industrial revolution are playing, has to be integrated quite explicitly into the implementation of the SDGs. And on that basis, this resolution then makes provision for what is called the annual STI for SDG forum and other mechanisms, which I will quickly go into, which help to create a more coordinated international response to the SDGs by the STI community. The annual STI for SDG forum has been three sessions. They had their third one early in June. The first three have, like any UN processes, has been about kind of trying to get some kind of consensus. The original declaration from the first SDI for SDG forum is in fact very good, very supportive, I believe, of developing country ambitions. It has a very strong focus on issues like capacity building, and it's not just about getting the technologies from developing countries. It, for example, encourages South-South cooperation, etc. The real trick with all of these things is to develop the implementation mechanisms that allow that to happen, and there's been progress around this as well. As an example, one of the specific mechanisms that has been identified as being important is the need for countries to formalize what they call national level STI for SDG action plans. This will then provide all other countries with an indication of how different countries are approaching the SDGs from an SDI perspective. As an example, Singapore hasn't formalized, no country has yet released the SDI for SDG action plan. From our assessment, Japan is first in this road. They're kind of playing the lead role in doing this. But you can see from other engagements where countries have used the SDI for SDG action plan to position particular capabilities and they align it very strongly to the economic and scientific diplomacy requirements. So for example, Singapore, all of the SDG forums that we've attended, different people, we all come back with the same view. If you want to think about water, you're going to have to think about Singapore, because they've positioned themselves as the country that can provide guidance to the rest of the globe in terms of how to deal with the water challenges, because in fact, being a small country state, they have had to move to 100% reuse of water, as an example. So we're busy discussing internally in DST, how is it that we also use the SDI, the SDG action plan, to position our technological capabilities, particular technological capabilities that we think using the SDG process, we can then create opportunities for our indigenous technology offerings. At the moment, this national audit that we're doing will feed into what is called a voluntary national review, VNRs. These are processes where countries voluntarily provide at something that it's also an annual meeting of the UN called the High Level Political Forum. Happens around about July every year. I attended my first HLPF this July, and at that HLPF process, one of the things that countries do is they then provide their voluntary national reviews. For example, in this the one that just passed, about 40 countries presented their national voluntary reviews. Some countries have already done their second national voluntary reviews. So they would then provide an indication of progress and basically, it gives people an indication, and for diplomacy purposes, it's quite useful because it begins to position the countries in particular ways around the SDGs. South Africa has taken a decision to submit its first voluntary national review at the 7th High Level Political Forum. That's in 2019. That's the date in 2019. So the work has started around this year, and this is where the STAT South Africa report that I spoke about earlier comes into play, because one of the things you would do in your national, your voluntary national review is to give an indication of how far you in terms of your your progress, and obviously as a country we will use it to be honest about where we are with the SDGs, but at the same time I think we have some very, very important lessons for the rest of the world in terms of how we're dealing with particular challenges, whether it's in the water sector or energy access, etc. On the SDG mechanisms quickly, that's quite a busy slide, and I was trying to find a nicer one, unless we do it ourselves, yeah. But basically, the one I want to initially point to, I don't have a pointer, is the first one. I've spoken about the high-level political forum. This is, in fact, happens annually, and then it's represented either by ministers of environmental affairs or foreign affairs or international relations or whatever. In the case of South Africa, it was led, the last one was led by the late Honorable Minister Malewa, who led our delegation to the high-level political forum. At each of the high-level political forums, they basically do deep-dive assessments of particular SDGs, and it's about six, five plus one. So they always review the means for implementation, SDG 17, and then they do five other reviews. Those review reports are very interesting because they kind of consolidate what different countries are doing in particular areas. So this year there was on water and sanitation, there was on sustainable human settlements, etc. Right? Under the ECOSOC processes, there's a Commission on Science and Technology for Development. They're playing quite an important role to look at this. The minister attended the last CSTD engagement, and in fact was quite successful in pushing forward an African agenda on that program. And so those things then begin to impact on kind of donor funding and developmental finance, etc. Particularly under the science and technology domain, there's something called a technology facilitation mechanism, which is intended to be a mechanism that allows countries to create the opportunities, like I said, for technology transfer, for joint technology development, etc. We have the SDI forum, and then we have at the global level something similar to the SDG Knowledge Hub that we have in South Africa, which is an online platform. And the technology mechanism, which is composed of these things, are advised by a 10-member task team on the SDI for SDGs. In the first 10-member group, a prominent South African researcher who's in fact playing a leading role around global science governance, Heidi Hackmann, I'm sure some members may have met her at science forums, was part of that interagency, that task team that recommended. So we play a role. The UNFCCC, I'm not going to speak about, but they have similar, that's the climate change arrangements, etc. And then the reason why 17, SDG 17, is particularly important for science and technology communities is because in addition to talking about capacity building and finance, it talks about technology. And it deals with technology with its complexities, like issues of IP protection, technology transfer, etc. All right, now, so the rest of the presentation now will just kind of quickly go through so that there's more time for members to pick up on particular issues that may be of interest to them. As I said, I wasn't aware, wasn't too familiar with the particular needs. But at a high level, the STI and the NSI can support the SDGs in one of four ways. The first is in terms of generating and packaging the data that allows the country to monitor targets, to assist with planning, to help track progress, to help government and other stakeholders make informed decisions, and on that basis to make ongoing adjustments to achieve the SDGs. A good example in this instance is the work that our space agency does. A lot of the space agency products feed into various SDGs because they would, for example, provide information on land use change, land use cover, etc. So many of the indicators are measuring things like that, changes in the environment, changes in demographics, in population, etc. And so I've just listed down, in terms of this landscape approach that we're taking, in terms of the new white paper, a much more systems view around it, that those are the various agencies that play a role in some way or the other in terms of this particular area of providing, generating, and packaging data. CSR, SENSA, HSRC, the Agricultural Research Council, SENBI, Water Research Commission, and the Medical Research Council. The second big area where the SDI and NSI can assist is in generating knowledge and analysis for policy planning and delivery. Whether this is about diagnosis, whether this is about how we do things differently, etc., across the SDGs. And in this respect, the NRF plays a big role, and I'll highlight that and what they're doing through their research shares program, the HSRC, CSR, ARC, and you can see the other institutions there. ASAF plays quite an important role in this regard as well, in terms of the kind of consensus reports that it produces. And then comes the big areas that normally people think about when it comes to the NSI, which is about the technology and solutions in a sense. So when it comes to the development and localization of technological solutions that provide a boost to the achievement of the SDGs, we have TI in this space playing a role, CSR, ARC, WRC, MRC, MINTEC, CGS. Obviously, in each of these blocks, as part of the white paper efforts, there's a need to kind of consolidate, create more synergy and coordination. And then finally, and this is quite important because this introduced the international element, which I didn't include here, which is about demonstrating, testing, and diffusing of technological solutions. And I should have put in there our international relations particularly. So as an example, we're working with Germany on a project called EcoSun, which is looking at a village where we're kind of trying to build it up as a green, using a combination of German and South African technologies. But those are the kind of creating a space for people to see how things can be done differently. A lot of work happens in this space by TR, CSR, ARC, the Water Research Commission, and the MRC. Okay, so the remaining 17 slides are just basically taking each of the SDGs and providing an indication of what is happening in that space. Members should be aware that this is not comprehensive. As Paravayate said earlier, we're trying to develop this a lot more specifically. In this case, what the NRF has done, and you'll see this in all of the slides, is they've taken all of their research chairs and they've kind of identified in what area would this research chair make the most contribution. And it's some research chairs, for example, would make a contribution to more than one SDG. In fact, there was something I didn't raise earlier, which I should have put on the list of bullet points. One of the things that is plaguing the SDI community, and there's a lot of discussion around this, is how to create the kind of research programs that goes across the SDGs because they're so interrelated. And that's been quite difficult. The national voluntary reviews and the assessments that was done at HLPF all raise the same issues. You can't deal with water if you don't deal with health. And how do you even create the collaborations amongst the scientific community and then collaborations between the scientific communities and the agents of delivery, whether they're government or private sector, etc. So in terms of the first SDG goal, which is to end poverty in all its forms everywhere, there are 7 research chairs, 2 centers of excellence that we have, and then there are a number of research programs at the HSRC aimed at deepening our understanding of the particular South African factors that from a social determinants perspective contribute to our particular poverty profile, etc. So the HSRC has done a lot of work in the last 2 to 3 years to really focus in on this very difficult question to say we need to understand in not a superficial way but in a very deep way what is it that we would be able to do For example, we have things like the NIDS, the National Income Dynamics Study. Those are very, very important longitudinal studies, not only the HSRC, but others, that allow us to understand all policymakers in all departments, the social development, etc., to understand poverty in a much more deeper way for action purposes. And NRF has also began to develop something which is interesting, and we hope this will also enhance how the scientific community supports policy and practice, is to pull together the different research chairs in the centers of excellence into what is called communities practice, so that we don't have something just on food security, etc., but you're getting people to look at these things in a comprehensive way. I will move a bit faster now. SDG 2 is to end hunger, achieve food security and improve nutrition, and promote sustainable agriculture. And quite a lot is happening in this space, mainly because we have an entire agency like the ARC, whose entire focus is on food security and sustainable agriculture. But just other things, we have 9 research chairs funded at the NRF, we have the centers of excellence, including the very good center of excellence around food security, which is beginning to put some very, very good work together. We have some national research facilities that contribute to this. And then there's some very important longitudinal studies, like the South African National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. South Africa is one of a few countries in the world who does this, to give us a long-term trend of what is happening in terms of health and nutrition. And then there's a whole range of earth observation applications by sensor and CSR, which helps with reducing water utilization in agriculture, etc. On the technology development and diffusion area, members will be aware that one of the 3 focus areas of the bioeconomy strategy particularly is sustainable agriculture. The other 2 are industry development and health. So that's quite important in this, and a lot is beginning to happen, and I'm sure at some time you'll get more feedback around where we are with the bioeconomy strategy, because similarly they're doing a bit of a consolidation of how far we are in terms of that strategy. We play quite an important role in looking at the issue of nutritious supplements, food supplements, etc., because particularly you can give people food, but nowadays people don't talk about food security, they talk about nutrition security, because your essential nutrition may be not, people may not be getting it through normal food substances. Yeah. And then we have a number of technology stations that assist with agro-processing. SDG 3 is to ensure healthy lives and promote well-being for all at all ages. Again, this is an area where we're doing quite a lot as a system. And again, it's because of the significant work at the at the MRC in particular, at the HSRC, but also in terms of the WRC, and we're looking at the water dimension to health as an example. CSR has done work around technology development, for example, new pharmaceutical products, etc. So there again, just a list of what it is. I'm not now going to go to this in detail. I think people will get a sense of how this thing is structured. We can rather use the time for discussion. Education, and this is a particular area that I think South Africa has an important opportunity to use the SDGs to catalyze our edtech sector in quite a significant way. A lot is happening in the private sector which we haven't necessarily brought into this presentation. Lots of entrepreneurs that are looking at this, new ways of encouraging whole lot of training, because I think for me that last line is very important, promote lifelong learning opportunities for all. So we have a number of research chairs, we do the longitudinal studies in terms of TIMS, and then in terms of technology development and diffusion, there's a whole lot of things we do in terms of piloting of new technologies, but also using the new forms of technologies, whether it's mobile technologies or artificial intelligence, etc., to improve our education system. Obviously, it's not about technology. We need to also understand issues around pedagogy and school management, etc., which are equally important, and that's where your research chairs would come in. They don't take a technology focus, they take an education focus. SDG 5 is to achieve gender equality and empower all women and girls, although South Africa has a long way to go in terms of this, but I think we are acknowledged world leaders in terms of being able to deal with this, whether it's the representation of women in parliament, etc. Those are important indicators. So here again, we have a number of important programs that we've done. I think we just finalized the report on gender. And again, there are things that we can celebrate. There are things we need to do, obviously, but we need to celebrate. So on most of these, and in fact, if you read the targets, they're mainly about creating or introducing targets to ensure gender parity. And for example, we're starting to do this with the cabinet having taken the decision that all data sets should disaggregate data by gender, etc. So those are some of the work. One of the things that I'm hoping will be catalyzed a lot more stronger with the new white paper is this concept of gendered innovation. Asaf ran a very, very interesting workshop. It was quite, I included this reference in one of Minister Pando's speeches, and in fact the crowd was a bit taken aback. Because there was an example where a particular drug was leading to higher mortality among women than men. I think it was an antidepressant or something. And when they traced it, they in fact found out that when people were doing the test of these drugs, they were using only male rats. And so they were not able to take into account the dimension around this. So on that basis, part of clinical testing should say, have you, for example, tested this on both male rats and female rats? You know? So it's about design, it's about equipment, it's about this. Yeah. And so there's a very interesting international program that South Africa is associating itself with, which is around looking at gender innovation. Six is an area where we play a big role, and that is in the water and sanitation area, again, because of our water stress situation and being in Cape Town, we're going to be and increasingly in other parts of our country with climate change persisting. This is an area that we're going to have to do a lot more, and I think we're doing a lot more. WRC acknowledges world leaders in water research, not only in terms of technologies, but just in terms of how to manage water. So we have two research chairs at the NRF. We have a number of research infrastructures at our entities and universities, and very importantly, we've introduced a new initiative at DST called WADER, which is the Water Demonstration and Evaluation and Research Center. And this is in fact a center that's beginning to gain quite nice traction, because it's a place where people are now referring. A lot of municipalities get approached by vendors who want to sell them technologies. And the municipalities will now direct them to WADER, who then do evaluations of the technologies that come. They don't pass judgment. They basically do an evaluation to indicate where it works best, where it doesn't work best, etc. But in addition to that, WADER also facilitates demonstration with municipalities. So we're working with Joburg Water, etc., to try new technologies in a South African context. There are some of the areas of work, including the very important area of sanitation and building on our Gates Foundation partnership. And I think we need, as part of this effort, to accelerate the kind of complete eradication of the toilets in schools. There's a lot we can continue doing and enhancing our sanitation sector. Energy again is SDG 7. We're again doing quite a lot of work as a system, including the work in our hydrogen fuel cells and alternative energies. I forgot to include in the first slide SENEDI, I realize now, but SENEDI exists and plays quite an important role. But we also have, for example, ESCOM, who continues to maintain quite a strong research capability in terms of looking at new ways in which to enhance access to affordable, reliable, sustainable and modern energy. In terms of SDG 8, which is economic growth, full and productive employment, and decent work for all, we have a number of research chairs, including a research chair on industrial development now, and I've been asked to just sit with them. They're busy looking at this concept of inclusive industrialization, which again I think we can lead conceptually as a South African system around this. Some big initiatives that we've introduced to advance this, and this is by no way a comprehensive list. This is the ones that are in my portfolio, and there's a lot in DDG Boneni's, Moefe's portfolio, etc., but the Mandela Mining Precinct, the Biorefining Industrial Development Facility, etc. Most of these have a very strong element around sustainable development. So, for example, the Mandela Mining Precinct is particularly looking at how to reduce accidents, how to reduce water and energy use in the mining sector. Nine is the area that I said is, in fact, quite a big one, because in fact it includes the word innovation in the SDGs, and it highlights this. So we have a number of research chairs, centers of excellence around this, but we also have, for example, this SDG calls for stronger partnerships between government and industry, and we're beginning to do that with the Sector Innovation Fund, but also with things like the R&D Tech Incentives, and you can see a whole lot of organizations are involved in that. So I had two slides because of this, but on technology development and commercialization, there's a whole lot of other initiatives. So most of our large investments in creating the architecture for innovation will find expression when we report on our SDGs in terms of this, whether it's your MLabs or your grassroots innovation program or your technology stations, etc. SDG 10 is reduce inequality within and among countries. I think our big focus is within. But we also do some work when we compare ourselves to other countries in the region. Regional inequality is an important dimension that we have to take care of, because if we develop without the development of our region, it creates its own instabilities. But there's a number of initiatives that are specifically aimed at confronting this issue of inequality, particularly inequality in terms of access to the technologies and for example, the Grassroots Innovation Fund to provide opportunities for people who are not in the mainstream of the science, technology, and innovation system to have opportunities for their innovations to be taken forward. SDG 11 is around cities and human settlements. Big role that we play together with COFTA, etc., in partnerships with those agencies. I mentioned the EcoSun project, but there are similar projects around this. CSIR has a long historical tradition of having a very strong focus on this area. For example, it's responsible for doing the Red Book that guides technology standards, etc., and that kind of work continues. SDG 12 is about sustainable consumption and production patterns. There's some initiatives, but I think the one that's more significant is not necessarily funded by the DSD, but it's funded by the DTI, but plays quite an important role, and we work very closely with them. It's based at the CSR, though, and it's called the National Cleaner Production Center. It's been existing for many years, and that idea there is that it's an opportunity, it's a place where business can go to in order to get advice and support around cleaner production methodologies and support. We have a very strong focus on sustainable production in our tech localization projects. So for example, when we were working with the foundry sector, one of the big areas was to reduce waste in the foundry system, which is aligned to this philosophy of sustainable production. We're beginning to do a lot more work, and you will see it in the white paper, this whole concept of the circular economy, which is beginning to become quite important. Then SDG 13 is to take urgent action to combat climate change and its impacts. I'm not going to talk a lot more about this, because I think you have a full briefing on our work in this regard next week. Next week? Yeah. I think you'll get a lot better sense of what we're doing in this space when people are engaging you at that session. Sustainable 14, called the Water SDG, under the ocean. It's about conserve the use of the ocean, seas and marine resources for sustainable development. Again, South Africa has strong capabilities, particularly because of our large coastline. We have a number of research chairs, but we also have centers of excellence. We have SION, we have the South African Institute for Aquatic Biodiversity, and as part of the Operation Pakisa process, we've now developed quite cutting-edge information systems on oceans and coastal monitoring, which in fact can do some very interesting things, like picking up algal blooms earlier than it is, or red tide, or even being able to start thinking about piracy as an example. 15 is about the forests and desertification, etc. We have a number of research chairs, very important in areas like the Northern Cape and our areas. SION plays quite an important role in this particular regard. 16 is promote peaceful and inclusive societies for sustainable development, access to justice for all, and build effective, accountable, and inclusive institutions at all levels. The two most notable institutions working in this area are the NRF through its research chairs supporting this, but the HSRC as well. A particular focus for us under this SDG is the need for us to look at how to enhance the capacity of municipalities as inclusive institutions and institutions that can effectively utilize science, technology, and innovation. We've had some successes through things like our Innovation Partnership for Rural Development Program, and we're starting the second phase of that. This is not easy work. It takes many, many years to do it, but I think we've made some progress. We recently published a book on the Innovation Partnership for Rural Development Program, which was an EU-supported program, and if members are interested, we can share copies of that publication, but it's available on our website. But quite a lot of research is in this area, whether it's around nation building, etc. And then 17 is called the cross-cutting SDGs, because it deals with the most critical issue with respect to the means for implementation. And part of this is the reason why it's the focus of every high-level political forum. Because unless we crack these issues, the global divides won't change. So this is where the hard negotiations happen around funding flows, around things like the Green Climate Fund, etc. I think we've recently acknowledged that we need to be a lot more strategic about tapping into these international funding instruments. We have good examples where we've received funding, say, from the Global Environmental Facility, etc. People are aware that a South African is one of the four coordinators of the Green Climate Fund, Fakir, from Department of Environmental Affairs. And those negotiations are tough because developed countries don't want to replenish the fund, and they obligate to replenish the fund. It's becoming even more complicated and dynamic with geopolitical developments in the US, now Brazil, Australia, where people are kind of withdrawing from global agreements. But in addition to talking about development finance, the means for implementation also deals with the difficult issue of technology transfer. And related to that is the whole IP, and South Africa is playing its role through things like WIPO, etc. So we have a number of research chairs and other things that help us to just be a lot more strategic about how we use these means of implementation for our national interests and opportunities. So, Chair, just to give concluding remarks, this is by no way a comprehensive, but I think what should be clear is that the SDI community as a whole is in fact playing quite an important role in many, many different ways to support the SDGs. There is a need for coordination and for kind of pulling these things a lot more closer together, and processes have started around that, and hopefully will be given greater impetus through the white paper process. And through the topics, what was interesting for me at the high-level political forum is that the whole technology issue came up very strongly in all of the SDGs. And in most instances, people are saying, we still need to work out how best to use the technology, particularly the issue of these new disruptive technologies like AI, etc. So that's the first comment. We're beginning to do this in the context of the white paper. And then the second is that we are going to use our national SDI action plan to position South Africa's scientific capabilities in a very strategic way. And so hopefully in that process of finalizing it, we will also seek input from the portfolio committee, because once it's done, then that's what we need to be able to go to. I said we've been discussing this in DST, we should be like Singapore and say, in South Africa, what do we go to South Africa for from a technological perspective? So let's use the SDGs, because if we're going to give this long list, we're not going to be known for any one particular thing. And this is quite difficult. So what that area is, or what those a handful of areas are, is not necessarily clear. We have a lot of potential candidates. You know, my preference might be water and sanitation because of a particular example, but there might be others. But collectively, we need to decide how best, what is it that we profile that allows us to be able to access opportunities and new markets for our own technology, because we want to grow as a knowledge economy and as a technology powerhouse. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Patel. Very interesting presentation. And in essence, the science and technology cuts across, you know, although there's a specific focus on SDG 9 and 17, but in each and every one of it, we find the STI there. Let me open to honourable members, to honourable Dr. Glotrick, honourable Koronov, in that order, honourable Dr. Timbevai.
Thank you, Chair, and also thank you very much, Mr. Patel. This is very impressive, and you said it's not totally comprehensive, but for me it is quite comprehensive, and I also heard you say that one of the problems is just to coordinate everything so that we work together. My question is, all of this is fantastic and impressive, but knowing all of this is being done, to what extent is the actual knowledge among institutions, people, municipalities, companies that this exists, and what is the kind of uptake of all this research being done?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I want to know how many countries will eventually participate in the VNR. You know, do you have an indication? And, you know, can you be more specific, maybe how many countries in Africa will participate in that? And then, you know, the SDGs, you know, is fairly recent. It's about 3 years old. It took over from the Millennium Development Goals. Was there any sort of legacy report with regard to the Millennium Development Goals? And how, well, you know, was there a good record for the world, you know, to respond to that? There were lots of criticism, you know, on the SDGs, and I think specifically NGOs were not very happy with it. It is a fantastic wish list, and whether we will achieve that in 2030, I don't know. But do you think that the SDGs, as it is adopted, I think it was in September 2015, is it static? Will it remain the same SDGs until 2030? Or is there a possibility, you know, that the United Nations might say some of them is not achievable and maybe add another one? You know, Yeah, there's so many problems in the world, you know, in terms of movement of people and you know, what we have seen, how many people have been, you know, kicked out of their countries and they have to move, you know, the refugees and so on. will they deal with that? Maybe they will obviously find one of the 17 to deal with that.
Thank you, and thank you very much for the presentation. I just would like to ask about specifically the research-related matters within the discussion that you had today, and to ask we have ordinary master's and PhD students who are spread throughout South Africa and who are not necessarily funded by either NRF, CSIR, or any other that we get, who also produce a good quality of articles related to all these topics that are here, ensuring healthy lives, lifelong learning, and within the social the department as a whole, who contributes to all the aspects as they are. My question is, how do you make their articles, their contribution towards the information here? Because here it's only a mention of funded, the chairs of NRF, the chairs of that, whereas even within NRF we have PhD students, and we know what are the role of the PhD students. It's to produce scientifically researched articles that can be used nationally. So I just would like to ask about that. And the second question is, how does the SDG Knowledge Hub at the University of Pretoria fit into the national coordinating mechanism, and what are the time frames for the national audit of STI for SDGs, and who will conduct this review? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My question is one or two. How is South Africa coordinating its work on the SDGs? Which department leads this initiative? How is coordination mechanism structure? The second one, who leads the monitoring and evaluation for this work? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. I think mine was more related to what Honorable Koronov said, because at the end of the MDGs, not many countries had achieved those MDGs. And even when there was a committee, what was it called, that was trying to monitor, they were not getting money. I remember even the Honorable Speaker was part of that, that was checking on where Africans were in relation to achievement of the MDGs. And now they've have the SDGs. I was more, much as you spoke of a number of countries, that 40 or so, but I was more concerned about the African support for achieving these and coming on to plane, because I think for us, as you correctly said, the deadline or the time frame is linked to our NDP, so it means it puts a lot of strain on us, and we really need to, you know, coming to Honorable Ndongeni's question, monitor and evaluate the progress in this regard. But yeah, thank you very much once again for the presentation. Over to you.
Thanks, Chair. And let me start off by saying that I'm not the SDG expert. I look at the SDGs from the perspective. They are very, very well-versed South Africans into the politics of the SDGs. In fact, South Africa played quite in because we hosted WSSD, etc. And so those processes have led to a lot of people becoming quite influential in the SDG processes. So there are many articles written, even on the questions that you raise, how successful has things been, etc. So what I say is opinion and what I've kind of heard, but maybe it's of use. Huh? Let me start with the sort of the coordinating. No, I think Honorable Dongeni has gone out, so let me wait for it to come back to address that question. Let me start with the issue of non-NRF funded research, etc. What is important to understand, because of this cross-cutting nature of the SDGs, each key SDG has a natural coordinating home for it. So for example, SDG 3 on health would be something that must be taken forward, and it's the Department of Health who should take it forward. It's not my task to say if I take all of the 17, I'll do this when I'm a researcher, then there's no career limiting moves then. But no one, I haven't seen any work that has taken across the 17 or 16, because 17 is around means for implementation, and tried to map out how strongly are those lead departments taking it forward, because it's quite variable across the board. The areas that I know where the kind of core departments in those areas have taken a big role, for example, water and sanitation, the new water master plan, etc., is kind of wholly informed by the SDGs, because water is a kind of a global resource. Sustainable human settlements, it's a lot more stronger. I think where people are facing other more current challenges, the SDGs are not kind of center, it's in terms of what they do. So why I raise this issue is because within each of those SDGs in the lead department, there are variabilities in the mechanisms that people use to access the research community. The health sector, for example, always has a very strong tradition of using the research that's available. So they would go out and source out and be able to do it. I mean, so DST doesn't control the entire science system. So, you know, water and sanitation will have its own relationship with the universities, and they would fund their own programs, etc. So I can't say with any certainty whether all of the research that's been used, and I think there was a period in time where the research was less used. I get a sense now that the research is being more used now. Most government departments are saying, let's go to the experts, let's go to the researchers, and you see this more and more, whether it's with the HSRC. So I think it encourages that where there is good research being done, even if it's not funded by the NRF, hopefully these things like the SDG Knowledge Hub, etc., will create the space for us to be able to extract those. But sometimes it's also up to the researcher. I've seen young researchers who have pieces of work, whether it's on smoking or whatever, and they feel very passionate about it, and they get onto 702, and I've seen this with some people. So it's a very difficult thing for anyone to manage at the system. I think what we can do at the central system is to encourage this issue of evidence-based decision-making, and that hopefully will then characterize the way that we deal with all of these areas. So yes, that's there. The Knowledge Hub doesn't only include NRF, it's across the system. Yeah? But it's designed as a platform, not so it will create the space, and if people have stuff that they think are of interest, then they should log it there. Then it depends who accesses this or not. The fit in terms of the national coordination mechanism, this SDG Knowledge Hub, my understanding, I don't know for certain, I'll need to double check this, but the presidency was in discussions. In fact, like I said, Minister Khadebe was the one who launched the SDG Hub. So there's support for it. It's quite new, so we still have to work out. What we're trying to encourage the University of Pretoria to do is to make it a national resource and not the University of Pretoria resource. And so we're in discussions with them around it. In terms of the question, Honorable Lotring, around the impact and the uptake, it's the eternal question that we will deal with, whether it's in the context of the SDGs or anything else. Again, it's the issue for me is variable. In some sectors, it's a lot more stronger. In others, not so strong. So water as well. Water is an example because we have something like the WRC, and they have very specific mechanisms. That's what you need. You can't just assume that you're going to do an article. It's gonna find its way, you know. So the WRC, for example, hosts these policy dialogues where they involve researchers, where they actively take out their stuff to private enterprises, etc. So as part of the new white paper, when we talk about the need for sectoral plans, this is part of what we would want to see achieved as well. We will talk with the sector to say what research do you need, but more importantly, what other institutional arrangements you need to make sure that the research gets into the field. And you can't do that across the board. You need to do that sector by sector. We do have some very important sectors that use the research. For example, the private sector initiative called the NECT. They actually draw on the research. They go beyond drawing on the research. They're doing some very interesting methodology now, which is called randomized controlled trials, where they actually take two schools and they put one school, similar schools, they run certain interventions with one school and they don't with another school, using the kind of, and then they see whether the impact is there and whether, you know, a million rand investment gave you a million rand returns. So where there's a strong focus on this, people would do it. Health does this all of the time, but not necessarily formal. So that's the issue. I don't think it's ideal, and I don't think it's ideal in South Africa. I don't think it's ideal internationally. The research community is having to confront this issue all of the time about, you know, are we just creating knowledge for knowledge purposes? That's important, but at the same time, you need to make sure that there's directed knowledge. So we're not unique in this. We are, I'm part of a project called the Transformative Innovation Policy Consortium, and in that consortium, we have Sweden, Norway, Finland, Brazil, Mexico, Colombia, ourselves, and all of us face the same challenges. And so there's new concepts in the European, they call it responsible research and innovation. The EU are saying that they will want to see a lot more clearer indication that the research work has impact. So I think we'll have to deal with it as part of that challenge. The VNRs, Honorable Kornhoff, I don't know the number offhand, but typically about 40 countries present per year. I think the pressure would be on that in the 12-year, 15-year cycle, that no country would want to be the one to be called out to say, why you haven't done your volunteer, what are you trying to hide? You know? So my anticipation is all countries will do their VNRs. In fact, some countries have done two VNRs already. And some of those are in the African continent. I haven't analyzed why, what's incentivizing them to invest in doing the VNRs, what are they expecting to get out of the VNRs. But the anticipation is that countries will do more than one VNRs over a 12-year period. So if we do our first one in 2019, we may then do one in 5 years' time. And then we might want to do one at the end of the cycle. But that is something that the National Coordination Mechanism under the presidency will have to decide, because doing a VNR is not cheap. You have to collect a lot of data, etc. So you have to balance these things out. I'm sure that there's some legacy report on the MDGs. I can't access it. I think in South Africa we have something. The best place to be able to identify for this would be Stats South Africa. But the MDGs were easy compared to the SDGs. Firstly, the MDGs were seen as very much around a developing country perspective. The SDGs are for everyone. That's the key issue. There's a lot more, and there's a lot more indicators, etc. So it's the most ambitious global agenda. Whether it works or not, no one knows. People who are familiar with these processes, I, for example, attended one HLPF in my life, and then there were people there who were veterans who've been attending when there was no MDGs, and they're saying that, you know, there are countries in the world who are systematically undermining global processes. So they said compared to the MDGs, the HLPF is more of a talk shop. There's no real hard negotiations happening because it's like sharing of experiences, etc. So some of the action is happening in other forums, and this is part of the global sharing. Whether there will be a modification of the SDGs, I think it would be quite difficult, personally, just because you need to get all of the 213 countries of the world to recommit to. But I know in certain areas, for example, in the biodiversity space, I met some colleagues from DIA on my way back, and we were just discussing, because she was coming back from a convention on biodiversity meeting, and they're saying some of it is clearly inappropriate. But whether they'll get rid of it, it depends which country is brave enough to say we need to change it. So it's likely to remain, but, and this is the important but, the way that the SDGs have been defined has been around a very strong focus on what they call domestication. So the intention is to say you have to domesticate. And as you domesticate your SDGs, the intention is that you will domesticate as a society, not as government. So in South Africa, for example, the process of doing the voluntary national reviews will say, what is important for us? Can we collectively buy into that? And because we have the NDP, which is universally supported by all political parties, has got widespread support in society, some challenges with some chapters, there's a good basis for us to be able to say, for us, the priority is inequality, poverty, etc. So it's not likely, but it's an informed guess. And then the question, Honorable Adongani, around the coordination mechanisms, nothing has been finalized, and so that's why it would be difficult to say, but broadly the thinking is that the State South Africa would play the lead in terms of MNE, because the MNE is in terms of the indicators, and they do collect the indicators. So State South Africa, for example, has done a baseline report, and they've done the first progress report on the SDGs. So they would play a role, but they wouldn't be the ones. They would show us the mirror, in a sense. This is how you're looking. It would need to be at the level of the presidency, in a sense, to do the overall coordination of the SDG work. And the coordination of the SDGs can't be different from the coordination around the NDP. So the discussions is that the NDP, the implementation, the MTSF, will need to address both the SDGs and the NDP in a sense. And the presidency is the natural home for that. So that's where the thinking is at the moment, but that hasn't been formalized because it then has, and as people are aware, there are discussions around the macro organization of government, and so all of these things are linked. And I'm a lowly official who don't have access to some of those discussions. So they're all debates at this point in time. And then what was achieved under the MDG's chair? I think South Africa did quite well. The continent, not so well. And I think that was one of the reasons why civil society on the continent have highlighted that the SDGs, there's another big difference with the SDGs, because it doesn't only talk about development assistance, its own resources. And so countries have to also show own resources. So I think there was global pressure and national pressure to force governments to say, you can't just see this as you did with the MDGs. So whether we'll achieve more under the SDGs, I don't know. I think it's too early to tell. Unfortunately, it's a lot more complicated. The SDGs are a lot more complicated. But I think the good thing is that most major organizational people with leverage and power, whether it's the World Bank and the OECD and G20, because everyone is involved, I think there's a lot more ownership, even though it's more complex, by a larger number of people around the SDGs as compared to the MDGs. The MDGs were seen very much as a development assistance thing. The SDGs is seen more as a global corporation. So that's the good thing. The weakness is that it's a lot more complicated. It's a lot more SDGs and things are linked. And some of it are big issues like climate change. If we don't deal with emissions, which is we're not going to achieve much. So these are debates that I think will be had, and hopefully Parliament would be involved in the VNR process. I can't say, but I'm sure they would be involved in that. So there will be further opportunities to kind of have these strategic discussions with the country. Right. I hope I've managed to talk. Most of it was SDGs, not SDI.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Thank you very much, Mr. Patas. Honourable members, are there any follow-up questions? Thank you very much. I think the presentation is empowering, and also for us for things to look forward to, or to look out for, and also in I think even in our legacy report, we will include this so that the new committee also makes a follow-up on them and assess the progress. Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Patel. Honorable members, we have sent and I forgot earlier on to also present the apology to Honorable Fuller, who's writing exams today. We wish her well. The application for the White Paper Summit has been presented to the powers that be, and we just hope that they will ensure they will approve for all of us to attend. And secondly, on Friday I'm invited a chairperson to share with the students in KZN on the benefits of science and technology and its importance. This person just invited me as the chairperson to share with their students. He says just unfortunately the metric ones are already written, but they just thought that it's important for those who are not in metric to take it home. So I don't know the how wide or from which grade they're doing that, but I just think that it's an opportunity, you know, to engage on science and technology, also share some experiences on that. But other than that, I don't have anything, no other announcements. We will have our next meeting next week. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. Have a blessed week.
Thank you.
Can I ask you something?
I don't know why
they were there. They disappeared. Why?